Awesome to see everyone here this morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but wisdom is something that I like to talk about. It's something that I think about a lot. It's not because I think that I'm wiser than anybody or anything like that. I think part of it is I desire to be wise, and also I know how hard of a life it is to be foolish. And I've definitely been that within my life. But I think it would be safe to say that Joseph in the Old Testament was a very wise man. In fact, Pharaoh, who is king over Egypt, definitely had no reason to praise Joseph, the man who he just pulled out of jail. Said this about him in Genesis 41 and verse 39. He said, "There is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Joseph interpreted a dream for Pharaoh that projected that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and that there was going to be 7 years of famine. But Joseph not only told this dream to Pharaoh, told him what he meant, what it meant, but he also told them how to make the best usage of his time. Genesis 41 and verse 33. "Now let Pharaoh look for a man who is discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine." The advice that is given by Joseph is not, enjoy what you can while you have it, or, don't do anything, or try to fatten up like bears and try to make it through 7 years of famine with not having food. People would have died. It would have been a waste of grain, and it would have been a waste of time. Probably most of us have known some people that we have thought really wise and have seen as really wise in our life. People that make really sound decisions, who apply the knowledge that they have gained over time, over their lives very well. They may have to sit down and ponder for a while, but they can usually come up with a solution for just about anything. It seems to me like wise people make really good use of what they have. They hardly ever waste anything. They have a knack for using what they have on hand when it comes to money within their lives. Usually they're not blowing it all. In fact, they're not blowing it all. And they're not bearing everything. They're paying what they need to, obviously, paying for groceries and bills, also investing wisely and things of that nature. Also, they use their words really well. Thinking about the things that they say to people and not holding back what people need to hear, whether that is rebuke, but also encouragement as well, which is so needed. Those who are wise have purpose in what they do, and they put good use, or they use what they have and put it to good use. And maybe experience has taught them the necessity of doing that. If you have to go a period of time without food, that'll teach you something, whether that is because of shortage or whether that is because of your own negligence. Unfortunately, but also fortunately, failure teaches us a lot of things. And so some of these very same people who have failed and maybe failed big in their lives are, when they get older, sometimes looked at as wise because they took the lesson. This lesson of poverty, this lesson of poor decisions or whatever it may be, they decided to change. They don't want to be wasteful anymore with the things that they have, and they don't want to be wasteful with their lives. But, and here's the big thing, and maybe you've caught this while I've been speaking, you can be seen and as wise in all of these things that I brought up so far. Wise with your money, wise with your work, wise with, whatever it may be, you can be seen as this and still be counted amongst a fool when it's all said and done. We read in Romans 1 and verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes," and we're talking about God here, "His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And we're talking about the foolishness of turning towards things that are not gods, but so many people that are wise who maybe are not what we think as pagans do the exact same thing. Paul here is talking about mankind, and mankind has always been full of Fool. I was talking about has always been full of wise people. And a good number of these wise people are the most foolish that there is because they have wasted their life. They have taken God out of the picture, which is the big thing that's being brought out here. They did not honor God as God. They worried about so many things and do worry about so many things in their life. They worry about money. They worry about their words. They worry about their position at their job or whatever it may be. But it's God. God, whose eternal nature and divine power that is seen in everything, He's the one that matters. He's the one who's judge. And so they, and we still can at times, become fools. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they bought, what we buy, what we trade, what we invest, what we work in, what we worry about. If God is not a part of it, we waste our time. Fear of the Lord is true wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And I find so interesting this word beginning, the beginning of wisdom, because this, and beginning just stands out here, because I really think that that's a huge difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that comes with God. It seems like the wisdom of the world is always trying to work for an end. Right, you are being prudent in your life to get to retirement or to get the home that you want or to get the position that you always want or whatever it is. You're trying to find a place to end, and then the end comes, and then what? And then the big end comes, death, and then what? But when you live for God, you're working towards the beginning. You are setting a foundation of a marriage that is worthwhile. You are setting a foundation for your children to carry on to the next to their generations and to the next generations. You're investing in a wealth that is going to carry on forever. And then death comes within this physical life, and then what? And then life begins. True life. That's a wise investment. Joseph, that we just read about, used his opportunities wisely. And not just in this case, not just with the dream and with the grain, but also he made just the most of the opportunities in his life. And honestly, a lot of them didn't seem all that good. He made the most of his opportunity in Potiphar's house. He made the most of his opportunity when he was in jail. He was a wise man. Joseph wasn't about to waste his life. No matter what his life looked like at the time, he wasn't going to waste it. And Joseph was wise because he feared God. In fact, even Pharaoh recognized that. Genesis 41 and verse 39. Since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. And Pharaoh knew that because Joseph knew that. And Joseph was free to tell him that. Genesis 41 and verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. But Joseph then answered the Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And it's those who have the same attitude in life, who realize the importance of God, who fear God, to whom Paul writes to in the book of Ephesians. And that's where we're going to be at next, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul encourages to be wise, just like we're talking about. Ephesians 5 in verse 15, Paul says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And he gives an aspect of what that is, which makes sense with a lot of what we've already been looking at this morning. Skipping a verse over to verse 17, he says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that we be prudent with what we have, or more specifically, what He has given us. Jumping back to verse 16, making the most of your time. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of our time. Our time includes in it everything that we've been talking about this morning, our work, our money, but also our family, our desires, everything that we think about, everything that we do in our day, it is all wrapped up within this short time of our lives. Make the best use of your life is, I think, a really good way to read this. And that's what the brethren in Ephesus are being told, and I think that's what we're being told as well. Make the best use of our lives. And especially if we're in Christ, the lives that God has given us through Christ. Because, he says again in verse 16, the days are evil. And I believe what he's pointing out here is that the time in which they are living is evil. Be saved from this evil and perverse generation. But, you know, it's interesting. I read this and I think it's an encouragement. You know, not so much that the days are evil. I mean, that's not encouraging. But it is encouraging the opportunity that was before them. And it's encouraging the opportunity that is before us as well. When things seem to be going against us, when things seem to be stacked against us, whenever we are faced with darkness, it's so easy to think that we can do less and not more. But really, the opposite is possible. And the opposite is true. There is no greater opportunity for light to make a difference than when there is darkness, when it's surrounded by darkness. And there is no greater opportunity for a people that are light than in a world that is dark. Joseph, he was a man that was not in a world that was full of grain. He was a man who was in a world that did not have grain. What a good opportunity that was to give out grain. What a good opportunity it is to give out light here in this world that's full of darkness, because the days are evil here too. It would be foolish to waste the opportunity that we have in our life. I'd be the first one to say that. I do it so often. And so, Paul says, looking at the beginning of chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." This is one of the greatest, one of the things that really strikes me, because this is what we're called to. It's not just being good, and it's not just going to church. We are called to be imitators of God Himself. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us as an offering and as a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints." That's what kind of we talked about in class today, right? "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. For you know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." You know, one of the most appealing facets of Joseph's story that we began with, one of the things that's so appealing to the human mind is it's kind of like a rags to riches story, and we all enjoy that. You know, more specifically, it's a riches to rags to riches type thing. Joseph had a really good life with his father, and then he was cast away into pits and slavery and into jail and into darkness, and none of that was his fault. But with God's help, he comes out of that, and he comes into a position that's hard to even imagine. It's really hard to even imagine the position that he found himself in. Wouldn't it be great to have that said about us? To be able to say that about us? It can. And for a lot of us who are here this morning, it is. It is true about us. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Even though we may not be seated at the right hand of a Pharaoh or a king or anything like that, we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. And, you know, looking back on my life and the things that I've done in my life, it is certainly not anger that did that for me. It is certainly not lust that did that for me. It is certainly not living for myself that did that for me. It is certainly not all the other sins that are listed in the Bible that did that for me. It was Jesus Christ that did that to me. Now, I mentioned failure to begin with. And that failure so often makes someone wise. Now, obviously, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it is my greatest failure that made me to realize that. And maybe it did for you as well. My life. I failed in my life. I was a failure in my life. And you know what's so interesting about that is I was failing in life in a time where you would look at it and outwardly it looked pretty good, right? I was an assistant manager at a business at a pretty young age, and I was a failure. I was making some pretty good money for my age, and I was a failure. And you know what? I had the prospect to make some really, really good money in my life if I kept forward with it. But thank God I didn't. I still would have been a failure. Because during that time, and I say that, I don't know if it would have changed or not, but during that time, I rejected God. So I was a failure. And so even though I am ignorant in a lot of ways, and I certainly wouldn't come up here and pretend that I'm not, I'm very ignorant in a lot of things, I still made the wisest decision that I ever could in my life. Praise God for that. I praise God for that. And so to make the most of this time that the Lord has given me, I am encouraged to walk in the deeds of light instead of darkness. So we saw that in verse 8. I don't want to do what the old Josh did. I don't want to waste my life like the old Josh did. The old Josh, he was a dummy. I really don't want to be like him again. And so I'm encouraged to walk in deeds of light now, to be loving, to be pure, even in my speech. And we saw so many examples of what he's talking about through here. Because the deeds of darkness are unfruitful. We see that in verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. They are literally a waste of time. They don't produce anything good. There is no benefit to them. And there are some that might disagree with that. I certainly, at a point in my life, would very much disagree with that. And you know what? They do give something. They give moments of pleasure, sin does. But I honestly think that's worse than if they didn't give anything at all. Here's a passage in Ezekiel chapter 15 in verse 2. The Lord says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of the branch which is among the trees of the forest? Can wood be taken from it to make anything? Or can men take a peg from it on which to hang any vessel? If it has been put into the fire for fuel and the fire has consumed both the ends and its middle part has been charred, then is it useful for anything?" God is asking, I didn't finish my verse, I'm sorry. "Behold, while it is intact, it cannot be made into anything. How much less when the fire has consumed it and is charred, can it still be made into anything?" So we have this wood being compared. We have this you know, scrawny wood of the vine, and we have, you know, good wood that you can find out in the forest. And God here is talking about the uselessness of Israel. And it's because of Israel's sin that they have become useless. But he's saying, what is this wood good for? Except to be burned. And then what? And that's how sin is. It is skinny and it is weak, and you can use it for the fire. You can use it for a little bit of warmth, and it feels good, you know, at the time. But then when it goes away, you're just left feeling as cold, even colder than you were before. What a shame that is when you can grab a hold of some real wood and make a home. And so the deeds of light are not like the deeds of darkness, because the deeds of light are fruitful. Verse 9 of Ephesians 5. "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That is a life that pleases the Lord. The Lord who can shelter us for all eternity. That is not a waste of time. And it's interesting. Paul is having to say all of this because others are saying otherwise. And you know, the thing about others saying otherwise is people always listen to them. Isn't it strange? I mean, it's not strange, But we see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." He says, "No, let no one deceive you." And the unfortunate thing is some people get deceived. They get deceived still. We have to be determined. We are not going to be deceived. Because who is saying these empty words? Ephesians 4 and verse 17. "So I say this, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." You know what that sounds like to me? Excluded from this life of God, callousness, a cold heart. It sounds empty to me. Empty people speak empty words. Empty of purpose, empty of hope, empty of God. God is the key to life. Without God, nothing would be anything. Without God, there would be no sun, there would be no rain, there would be no us. God completes us. And so without God, we are empty. We have to have God. And I know, you know, some of these things may sound like such a slap of a comment that I'm making, right? Because I am pointing out that if you do not have God in your life, and if God is not the center of your life, then your life is meaningless. That's a hard pill to swallow. I could say it to myself, and I had to say it to myself to change my ways. Because the thing is, and the wonderful thing is it does not have to remain that way. It does not have to remain empty. It does not have to remain purposeless. That's what it is. There's no way around it, but it does not have to remain that way. Ephesians 4 in verse 20, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and you've been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self," that old self that again was purposeless, meaningless, that old self that was wasting its time, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. God has given us such a great treasure. He has given us the treasure of His Son and the sacrifice of Him and the resurrection of Him, and so that through Him we have been given so much. And not just more life, not just more time, but we have been given a new life. And we have been given a new self that we see here. And new possibilities. The possibilities of being in the likeness of God, of which He created His creation to be, and to be an imitator of Him, as we saw at the beginning of the chapter. That is not worthless. That is not meaningless. That is what we were created for. These days are evil, just the same as those were. Let's make the most of our time while we're here. If you this morning need to experience that wonderful forgiveness that we do have in Christ Jesus and take on a meaning to your life, please do that today. Please come forward and be baptized into our Lord. If you have any prayers or needs of the congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.